We are studying the second Siche of Va'ero in Chelik Yud Aleph, Lekuta Siches. And this is a Siche which is concentrating on the fourth of the ten plagues, known as the Makkah of Orev. And the Rebbe is going to explain what was so unique about this plague called Orev, the wild beasts, and what was its purpose, and many other details which are specified in the parasha regarding this plague, the plague of Orev. So let's begin by studying an insight. Seif Aleph. Bekesher lemakas Orev she'evi HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Mitzrayim, in regard to the plague of Orev that is brought up, the Rebish that brought up Mitzrayim, is super bepasha seinu. So the Torah tells us on chapter 8, verse 17, she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu tziva le'moyshe le'ma le'paroi. Hashem tells Moshe to relate to Paroi the following. Ki im eincho meshaleach es ami, ineni mashliach becho begoimer. Hashem says, Koyomar Hashem, he says, tell Paroi to send the people, Ki im eincho meshaleach es ami, for if you do not send out my people, hineni mashliach becho. The word mashliach, as we're going to see soon, is translated by Rashi, I will incite against you. Usually it's coming from the word shlichus, so we're going to explain it. And I'm going to be mashliach becho to incite against you, ube'avodecho, ube'amcho, ube'votecho, es oriv, to your servants, to your people, and your house, I'm going to incite the Orev. And we still seemingly don't understand what Orev is, but the Torah doesn't tell us, but as Rashi is going to explain us, the word Orev means, comes from the term Iruv, a mixture, and the mixture was a mixture of wild beasts. This is what the Pasuk says, and it continues, Umolu bote Mitzrayim es Orev, and the houses of Mitzrayim shall be filled with that mixture of the wild beasts, Vegam ahadomo asher heimoleo, and even the ground upon which they are is also going to be filled with that Orev. Rashi bepirushoi matik bin akoslu vesatevois mashliach becho. The header of Rashi is these two words, Mashliach Becho, Umefarish. And Rashi explains what is the meaning Mashliach Becho, Megare Becho. I will incite them upon you or against you. Vechein, he brings a proof that we find the word Ashalach in association with incitement. So there's a pasuk in Parshas Zinu, which reads, Veshein be'emois ashalach bom. And the tooth of animals I will set upon them, which dear do, the rashalach is not as usually translated, shlichus, sending, but rather, leshoin shisui, an expression of incitement. And Rashi continues, incetir bela'az, that in old French, it is called incitir, which is very similar to how we call it in English, incitement. Bepashtis, kavonosoi, levayer, shetevas mashliach eino miloshu shiluach. What Rashi's intention is to explain that the word mashliach, very much related to sending, here does not mean sent. Kemoi, im eincho meshaleach be'atcholas kosuv ze'atzmoi. Just like in this very pasuk. The first word is, if you do not meshaleach esami, which means, if you do not send out my people. So Rashi says that you should know that here, when you read the pasuk, it does not refer to sending, elo she'im miloshen girui. Rather, it is a term which is translated as girui, as incitement, al derech, Al tizgoru bom. In Chumash Dvarim, we find the pasuk, Al tizgoru bom, don't instigate them, don't incite them. And here too is the word mashliach means loshen girui, that the make is I'm going to incite animals against the Egyptians. This is what Rashi teaches and explains us the word mashliach. Vekama diyukim machrichim pirush zeh. There's actually a few diyukim when you read the pasuk, which actually enforce us to understand the way Rashi explains it. And the Rebbe brings three diyukim. Aleph, number one, im mashliach ubemuvun shel shiluach, if mashliach would mean here, as it usually translated, that Hashem said, I will send the oroiv, hoyo tzodich liyos kasuv meshaleach, kemoi bitchilas hapasik. Then the Torah would have said, inani meshaleach, I'm sending the oroiv towards you, just like the beginning of the pasuk is referring to sending with the word meshaleach, which is the usual wording for sending. But instead it says mashliach, not meshaleach. Beis, number two, beloshen shlichus, if the Torah would have here mean the term which is used usually for sending, then matim yoisa loymar mashliach eso oroiv becho. The pasuk would have write, I will send the oroiv becho. Zaysameres hanishlach. First write out and specify who is being sent. Ulaachre ze lemi unishlach. To whom it's being sent. In the language which you associate with sending, mitchlichus, is first you say what you're sending, and then you write to whom it's being sent. As we see also in our parsha, kemoi lekamon, just later in the parsha, it says, hineni shoileach eskol magifoisai el lipcho. I will send all my plagues, so the magifois is that which is being sent, el lipcho is to the destination, to the heart of Paroi, to whom it's going to be sent. So you use that the item which is being sent before you mention who is the one receiving it. So here too, it would have say first, inani shoileach, inani mashliach eso oroiv, which is being sent, becho. Masheenken imu miloshen girui, but if it is as Rashi explained, that mashliach means inciting the animals, so then, aretei vazboch mechuberes la mashliach. Then the word boch is related to the one who is sending. Kiboch uchelik mi'apeula atzmo. A part of the activity is that I am sending, meaning I'm inciting them against you. So this is what all I am doing. It's not about you receiving it, being injured by them, but rather this is what the person incites the animals, and they are incited against you, against the person. And this is what Hashem is doing to the Mitzrim by inciting the Oroiv against them. That you are the one who is being affected by it. So, inani mashliach becho means I am inciting in you, or towards you, or upon you. And this is a part of what I am doing. I'm inciting those wild animals against you. And the fact that that's how the pasuk is written, that the word oroiv and boch is written, mashliach es oroiv boch, so that obviously indicates, again, that we are not talking about a concept of sending, but rather inciting. Gimel, a third proof to this translation, is that im amuvunu shlichas, if the meaning of here would mean mashliach send the oroiv, matim loimar, it would be more fitting to say mashliach lecho, lecho to you, or mashliach eilecho, before you, veloi mashliach becho. Becho means upon you. And that doesn't fit in shliach. You don't send someone upon somebody else. Aval im muvonoi girui, but if it means incitement, So here we understand, matima bitui, mashliach becho. Mashliach becho means, I am setting it upon you. I'm inciting the animals, set up to it to be incited to cause damage to you, upon you. So these three diyukim is proving that, again, what Rashi understood, that the word mashliach over here means incitement. In the order 6, the Rebbe brings what other Meforshim say, why Rashi understood that mashliach means incitement, and the Rebbe is going to question those commentaries. Let's read the order 6. Aval mashe kosav arreom v'agurari v'asif sechachomim v'bechukoisai. Those commentaries say how do we know that mashliach means incitement and not sending? Because we're talking about sending animals, and the term of shlichus, sending, only applies to a bardas, to a knowledgeable person. Here is where you sent them. You're giving them an order to do a mission for you. You apply the term shlichus, but you can't apply the term shlichus to animals. Therefore, Rashi learned that mashliach in this pasuk means inciting and not sending. Like the Rebbe and all those commentaries that loy zochisi leovin. I wasn't zoche to understand that pshat, what they mean by that explanation. Why? You telling me that the word shlichus does not refer to animals? Arim mefurash. Mi have psukim bepashas noyach, it says, vayeshalach eso oirev. So it was the crow, and it says that he sent them. And then, in pashas mishpotim, veshilach es beiroi. He sent his animal. Vechem mefurash beyeshaya, meshalche regel, ashor v'achamor. So again, sending the feet of the ox and the donkey, referring to, using the term shlichus, sending with animals. Pirash Rashi shom teshalchu regel ashor, sending the feet of the ox. This is in Lashon Torah. And vechein belashon chachamim. Same thing is in the language of Chazal, of our sages. Shebo poshut yoiser. She'ein li'ishtamesh b'teivo she'eino mas'imo l'tchunas adover. In the Lashon, which is being used by our sages, it is more obvious that they would not use a word which doesn't represent the quality or the definition of that which is being described with that word. In Lashon Torah, so Lashon Torah is a very special language. Chachamim, however, are speaking the way it is simply understood and relates to the way, to the language the people speak. And yet, we find even Belashon Chachamim, in the language of our sages, Matzinu Lashon Shiluach Bebalchai. We do find the term Shiluach, sending, also regarding animals. The Rebbe is Metzayan, Bobekame, the Gemara discusses regarding an animal which caused damage, or the Ozil Mimele, or the sholach shluchei, whether the animal went on his own or he was sent to travel. Ve'avel elemeimar, or the ozil machmosei. Instead of saying that he was sent, if you really assume that there is no term of shlichas, sending regarding an animal, so you could have, the Gemara could have read it, there's a difference between ozil walking on his own, or the ozil machmosei, you're walking because somebody helped them or directed them to go. But the Gemara uses the Lashon Sholach, Shluchei. So I guess both in Lashon Torah, in Lashon Chazal, the term of Shiluach, of sending, did apply and was referred also in the relationship to animals, and therefore that cannot be the reason why Rashi understood that Mashliach of Yirba Oroiv cannot be shlichas, it must be inciting. The Rebbe ends up the order, afshe yeshloimar, shebo beemshech loshna kosu v'shilach, even though we can say that the reason the Chachomim use the term sholach is not because the Chachomim would use in their language a term of shlichat by animal, but rather they are falling back to what the Torah refers to it as veshilach, and that's why they're also using the word sholach shluchei. But in general, it's clear that shlichas is a term which can be used to animals. So that cannot be the reason, but rather the reason is as the Rebbe brought the three diyukim, which clearly emphasize that we're talking about inciting and not sending. As Seif Aleph concludes, let's see the last paragraph. Umipnei beishtamim achroinim, because of these two last reasons, matik Rashi min hakosuv gam tevas becho. Af shu mefarej rak tevas mashliach sheperushe megare. Rashi, in his header to the explanation, he says mashliach becho. Usually, as the Rebbe learns many times, that Rashi in his header only uses, and only copies the word which is important to his explanation. But since here he's explaining mashliach means inciting, so why does he also copy the word becho? So the reason is because the word becho, like we just saw before, teaches us further that we're talking about inciting the animals, but not sending them. V'gam achakra beperushoi, leid Rashi ukoisev oidapam, megare becho. Inciting upon you, so he really uses the word becho, ki zo chelek mino echrech, shakavone b'mashliach imegare, because this is a part of what enforced Rashi to learn, that when it says mashliach, does not mean I'm sending the oroiv, but rather, I will incite the oroiv against you. So this is the simple translation of the word mashliach, is what Seif Aleph explains us. The Rebbe now continues Seif Beis, and he has a few questions on Rashi. Omnom, צריך להבין בפירוש רשי זה. א', we need to understand, number one, למה מביא ראיה לפירושוי מהכוסוף שבפרשס האזינו. רשי brings a פסיק in פרשס האזינו, ושאין באימויס השלח בו. So the question is, why does he bring the ראיה from this פסיק, ולוי ממה שכוסף קודם לזה? Well, not a פסיק which is written earlier, and this is in Parshas Bechukoisai. Parshas Bechukoisai says, Veishlachti bochem es chayas asod, that I'm going to incite against you the chayas asod, the animals of the field. So then, this is a pasig which is preferred than the pasig that Rashi brings from Bechukois, from Parshas Azinu, because it's written first in the Torah. So if it's written first, that should be used as a proof first. Ubeyoyser yikshe, but it's not only because it's written first. The Rebbe continues, the question is even more, ki gdime le'ovi kosiv ze, gam mitzat prat noisaf. There is a priority to bring this pasuk of Bechukoisai, because there's an additional detail that we find dafke necessarily in Bechukoisai that we don't find in Azinu. How? In this week's discussion, the oroiv, we talk about inciting chayos. Chayos is undomesticated animals. It also talks about chayos. Chayos asod. Aval bepashas azinu, Aloy mefuresh v'shein be'emois ashalach bo. I will send the tooth of behemois. But behemois is not chayos. Behemois, the pasuk v'shein be'emois ashalach bo, is a pasuk which indicates that the idea of incitement would also apply to behemois, domesticated animals. The pasuk says, and the tooth of behemois, domesticated animals, I will set upon you. So, therefore, it makes more sense to use a pasuk which is, first of all, prior in Chumash. The Chukoisa is in the end of Vayikra, and comes before Zinu, which is in the end of Dvorim. And number two, the pasuk in Chukoisa specifically talks about Chayos. very much similar to the story of the Oroiv in this week's Parsha Vo'era. So this is question number one. Why does Rashi bring death proof? Question number two, Beis. L'achei shepireishu meloshen megare. Lomalei l'Rashi l'oisif oid loshen shisui. You look in Rashi says, what is mashliach? Megare. Megare means, I will incite them. And Rashi continues, Megare loshen shisui. It's an expression of shisui. What is shisui? Again, incitement. And then he brings it how it's being used in France. Why is Rashi adding the word loshen shisui? She'ein loimar. She'ben loshen shisui kavanosei levayru lefarish megare. Can't be that the word shisui somehow will explain us what megare is. It says megare, which megare means incitement, but you wouldn't understand it unless it tells you what shisui is. So that cannot be the pshat. Why? Ki alef teva shisui eino yoduo muvenes atamid yoisa mitevas megare. We don't find that the word shisui, which means incitement, somehow will be more understood to the one who learns chumish more than the word megare. The adarabe, even vice versa, megare ubitu yanimtzo kamo peromim betoiro. The term megare, we find kamo peromim bechum sheatoiro. In chumish, we do find the word megare. We find it in chumish dvorim, where the Rebbe is metzayin. So all the sukkim in dvorim where it says, al tizgoru bo, al tizgar bo milchomo, behizgor bo milchomo. We find the word giru, you learn in chumish, you're going to find, I guess it's a more common word, means don't instigate them, don't incite them. So the word is megare is an expression, do find it there. Be'oi, chaloshen shisui, eino inimtes af pam bechumish. We never find the word shisui. So to tell us that Beshila mashliach means megare inciting, and tell us that megare means shisui doesn't make any sense, because seemingly, if you know what megare is, so you understand that we're talking about incitement, and you don't need shisui to explain it to you further. Beis, lefize, if you're going to learn that meshase does come to explain you what girui is, aveli lehasmich loshen shisui lemegare boch, becho, v'rakach achre ze lichtoiv, v'chein, v'shein beim o esa shalach bo. If you look in Rashi, Rashi says that what is mashliach megare, inciting against you. Then he brings the pasuk v'shein beim o esa shalach bo, and then he says loshen shisui, an expression of incitement. If you want to tell me that megare means shisui, so Rashi should have said megare becho, which is lashon shisui, an expression of incitement. V'chein usot to me find v'shein be'im is hashalach bo, and then bring the pasuk. Rashi doesn't do it, so this obviously shows that the shisui is not to explain us what megare is. So why is he writing it? Gimel, third question is loyoya loy loy matevas megare ulasbiro. Elo meshase boch vetuloy. If you're only looking to explain us that the word mashliach means incitement, and Rashi assumes that we know better what shisui is than megare is, so then write. What is mashliach becho? Meshase boch, which will know that meshase means I will incite them against you. So all this proves that seemingly the word Lashon Shisui is not necessary. Therefore, the Rebbe's question is, what does Rashi want to tell us? But not satisfying, so to speak, with the word Girui. And why does he add also the word Lashon Shisui, an expression of incitement? Maybe the reason Rashi says loshen meshase is to add a diuk. What diuk? The I meyois shepirusho shel mashliach kishleatzbu megare, even though that mashliach take means I will incite them against you. Mekomokem beniden didan ein ze girui lechud elogam loshen shisu. I guess maybe Rashi wants to tell us there is two types of girui. There is girui inciting them, and then there is ashisui, which is, I guess, another level of incitement. But if this is the pshat, meaning it was a more intense incitement, adayin kosher beis anal. It's still the second question which he mentioned earlier, that this word, Lashon Shisui, should have been right next to the word Megarebach and not break it off with the proof from the Pasuk in Azinu. So that's number one, why that cannot be the pshat, that Meshase is to just to add the intensity of the incitement. Ve'oid ogufe minalon, shemashmos kanu gam shisui noisaf al Megare. Let's say that this is what it means. Where do you see in the Chumash and in the Pasuk, why would you say that it came to Makas Oroiv, to this plague, there was not just Girui, but there was also the second level, which is also called Meshase, which is a more intense incitement. If that's the case, where do you take it from? So this is the Seif Beis, the two questions mainly on Rashi, why does he bring the Pasuk from Zinu and Al-Bechukoisai, and why does he also add Lashon Shisui, an expression of incitement to what he said, that Mashliach means Megare. Continuing Seif Gimel. Rashi continues. Lehalon mamshir Rashi bepirusho yumatik esateivois esorov. Rashi continues and he says, he's copying the word esorov. Umefarish, and Rashi says, what is the word esorov, says Rashi? The mixture. What does it mean? Kol minei chayo izrois. All sorts of harmful beasts, of harmful chayos. Venechoshim, veakrabim, and snakes and scorpions, beir buvye, will come in a mixture, in a disordered gathering. Vehoyu mashchisim boem. And they would cross destruction upon them, upon the Egyptians. That's what the Orev is. Rashi continues, Ve'yeshtam badovor be'agode. If you look in the Medrash, there is a reason, Bechol mako umako, lomozu ve'lomozu. Each particular plague, the Medrash explains why it occurred. And what the Medrash says is basically, Betachsise milchomois melachim, Bo aleihem keseder malchus, that God came against the Egyptians following tachsisei milchamos melochim, the tactics of the works of the wars, which is done by melochim, by king. Keseder malchus keshetzoro al ir bitchilo mekalkel mayuniseo, just like when a kingdom, a government comes and places a siege on a city. So the first thing is mekalkel mayinesel. They ruin the city's springs of water, which, as the Medrash explains, the ruining of the spring of water is relating to the first plague, which was the plague of blood that attacked the water supply. And then umerin beshoifrois leyoron. Yoron ulevahalom. Next thing is the forces sound and blow shofars, make a lot of noise, and the reason is that the people which are inside in that besieged city are getting scared and confused. Leyoron ulevahalom. V'chein so too, here was the atzvardim, was the plague of the frogs, was mekarkerim ve'oimim. The frogs were croaking and making noise. V'chulu. Okay, the Yisheb, as the Medrash continues explaining, each one of the makas represent another tactic of the way war is being done. The shofar blasts are followed by a hail of arrows comparable to the lice, which entered into the bodies of Egyptians like arrows. And so on. Everything is explained in very interesting detail in the Medrash. And this is what Rashi brings here, explaining Orif. So the Rebbe said, "V'tzorich lohavim b'zeh." A number of questions to understand this Rashi. Aleph, number one. Divrei Rashi elu mekoyrim u'bemedrash. The source of this Rashi is a medrash. Elo shebeperush Rashi u'beshinui lashon. Rashi is changing the lashon, the lashon which is being used in the medrash. How? Bemedrash yeshnon benegea la'aminim shebemakis oroiv beis deyes. The medrash actually brings a machloikes of tanoim, a dispute of our sages, what animals participated in the plague of Orif. The Medrash brings the opinion number one, Shahu dubim aroyois venamerim, that there was bears, lions, and leopards. This is actually the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in the Medrash. Beis, a second opinion, which is the opinion of Rabbi Nechemya, is Shahu tsaroin veyatushin. There were wasps and mosquitoes. The Medrash actually ends up and says that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion seems more right, as we're going to see soon. So this is what the Medrash. Rashi, says the Rebbe, Zeshe Rashi eino mefaret esachoyo izrois leminein katama aleph. The fact that Rashi does just write chayo izrois, and it does not specify what type of animals they were, like it says, dubim, lions, and wolves, and leopards. Ki mistapik b'zeh shemaskiron b'toyora naklali, chayo izrois. Rashi is using the general term, chayo izrois, wild beasts, includes all types of animals. And, b'frat shelefi pshute shel mikro, ein hechach shoyu chayo iz elu dafke. In the simple reading of the pasuk, we don't know what type of animals were there. We only know that in general, they were chayes rois, they were wild beasts. And that's why the Medrash, Rashi doesn't bring the first opinion of Medrash. Bevadai, shiyi afshoy l'rash lefarish ulefaret esaminim kedeyo ashniyo. Rashi cannot accept the second opinion, which is Rab Nechemya's opinion, that there were only wasps and mosquitoes. Kifi shemechiach b'medrash anal atzmo. Like the Medrash himself there proves that why we cannot accept this opinion. What does the Medrash say? The Medrash says that nirin dvarav shel Rabbi Yehuda. We follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Why? The Medrash says, because b'tzfardim ksiv, it's written by the frogs, v'yomusu atzfardim, that they all died. Why did they all die? So it says that the reason is sheloi oyo b'em hanoe b'oyrei seyem, that there was no pleasure with the skin of the frog. There is no pleasure. So since there is no pleasure, and therefore the end of the market was that they simply died. Aval oroiv, when it came to the oroiv, you're talking about animals which have skin, and the skin can be used for multi purposes, and you can benefit from that skin. That's why the Torah says that by oroiv, nothing was left from the oroiv, they all disappeared after the plague came to an end. Why? Because Hashem did not want the Mitzrim should benefit from their skin. Says the Medrash, the fact that the Torah clearly differentiates between frogs and animals, what happened with them in the end. So if we would have accepted that the oroiv was swaps and mosquitoes which don't have skin, what should have been with them, with those creatures? They should have been dying and staying in Egypt. They should have stayed in Egypt, and they should have created a bad smell by their dead corpses in Egypt. So therefore, the Rashi also follows the Medrash in regarding why the Orev didn't die. Kevin shegam Rashi, Rashi nokat tam ze bepirushoi. Rashi says himself later, v'lei meisu ha'orev kemei shemeisu ha'tzfardim. Rashi says that the Orev was removed and did not die. So Rashi himself said, because if they would have died, the Egyptian would have benefited from their skin. So Rashi, so it's often understood that what kind of animals are we talking about? Animals which have skin. So it's understood that Rashi does not accept the opinion that there was creatures like swabs and mosquitoes, since they did not have any skin. And Rashi says that the Orev is removed from Egypt and did not die like the Tzfardim, is in order to is obviously explaining us that Rashi does not go with that opinion in the Medrash, in the name of Rab Nechemya, that that was the animals in, that was a part of the Orev attack. So this is clear. But the Rebbe continues, "Avol zeh oisiv Rashi le'achrei chayos rois b'nechoshim v'akrabim ein lemuv." The fact that Rashi adds there were bad animals, wild animals, and Rashi says that there were also snakes and scorpions. So this is not understood. Mimon efshach. Either way, im bepashtus oroiv shu mikol mine chayos rois. If the wood orev, which means a mix of animals, does include snakes and scorpions, so why do you specify the snake and the scorpion? You don't specify the other wild animals, like the Medrash says, lions, bears. So you don't mention them. If they were dear to the snakes, why you find necessary to mention them? Ve'im bepashtus. Ein echech shen nechoshin v'akrabim nechlolim b'chay Yisroiz v'lochem maskirom b'miyuchot. In if, by reading the simple words of Chay Yisroiz, you don't assume that it includes snakes and scorpions, and therefore you find it necessary to mention them specifically. But then the question of Ogufa, shehoyu gam nechoshin v'akrabim minolis, and where do you know that there were deer, snakes and scorpions? Even the Medrash doesn't mention that they were snakes and scorpions. So the fact that you wrote Chayo Yisroiz, fine, we understand Rashi says all types of animals, because in the simple reading of the Pasik, if you ask what kind of animals were dir ba'orov, we don't know. It was generally whatever type of wild animals. And it includes bears, lions, leopards, etc. But why is it coming Nechoshim v'akrabim? Where are you coming with that? And why are you mentioning it? This is a difficulty in Rashi. Beis, second question in Rashi. Madua mefarish Rashi dafke beposik ze sheyesh tam bedovor b'chol mako mako lo mozu v'lo mozu. Why is it, when it comes to this maka, the fourth maka, he Rashi finds necessary to bring that Medrash, which explains what is it and why is it that the Makos, the plagues, came in the following order, similarly to the tactics which is being used when it comes to fight a war. The im lefi pshutoi shel mikro dorshtam bechol mako mako lo moiviyem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if the simple reading of the pasuk does require that explanation. If that's the case, it was necessary to explain that reason in the first makas, or right in the actual first of the plagues. Lama uvu, lama besedoze, the pasuk should have said why the makas were brought and why in that order. And you have a beautiful medrash which explains and connects the plagues in the order which kings are fighting wars, and the tactics which is used by war, etc. If that's what you're looking to do, it would have been fitted to be written right in the beginning when you talk about the Makas. Madu achiko Rashi at the Makas Oroiv, a Makar Revis. Why are you waiting till the fourth Makar, and now by Oroiv, you finally find it necessary to discuss why this Medrash and explain the order and the reason behind the Makas. So this is another important question of Rashi. And as it brings in Ora 12, that this question is K'meshe Yikshu Meforshe Rashi. Other Meforshim are also asking this question. And it brings what Meforshim are answering, and it's going to bring some other commentaries explaining Rashi, and the Rebbe is going to ask on them. So let's see Ora 13. Mashekosa Asif Chachomim Betirutza Yerishoin. In his first answer on this question, why is Rashi mentioning it here, says the Sisei Chachamim, the kasha le'lomo Hashem hevi aleihem ha'orev, kivun denimshach lohem mizeh to'eles be'oirois u'bipsorom b'shar ha'nois. The Sisei Chachamim says that Rashi was bothered with this question, why taka did they receive the orev? Why did they get such a plague which will benefit them, the skin, their flesh? So therefore, lachem pirish Rashi sheyesh tam bedover. That's why Rashi comes and says there is an explanation, and he goes with the explanation that somehow the Orev relates to how the war takes place. This is the fourth tactic when it comes to war against the city. So the Rebbe in a moving cloud. Here is where Rashi would say it. Arikush Yezu tisoira b'siyum inyan amako. This question that you ask yourself, why would you get amako, a plague which can benefit you, is only going to come at the end when you see that they came and they died, and then you wonder. So what do you get? You're not only losing, they're gaining. If then is when you're going to get the question, so why are you bringing it up here? But especially if you're going to come to the end of the Mako, you're going to find out that this is not a question. Why? Because Shom Mefarish Berashi, Shelo Nishar Echot Kedei, Shelo Yehenu, that none of them was left. Because for this reason, that we don't want them to benefit. So obviously, that cannot be the reason why Rashi will tell us that this is the reason that I have to bring in the Medrash, so to understand that it wasn't just for a benefit. We will learn later that we did not benefit from it, and therefore we wouldn't have a question, how comes we got Orev? A second pshat the Rebbe brings from the Levusha Oiro. Ma shekosel belevusha Oiro, shekosheloi, the kivun she'ein hakavone rak le'orgom, ma yitriach Orev aleihem. ולא יביא מיד דבר גודל מאוד שימוסו בפמחס כמו שעושו בחיל של סנחריב. לבוש אוירו says that the reason Rashi needs to offer an explanation by Oroi because here is when you are being bothered with this plague, the nature of the plague, why are you going with Oroi and then you're going to bring Dever? I mean, you're trying to attack the Egyptians, bring one great epidemic, a Dever, they should all die at once. And actually we find in history that there was the famous war camp of Sancheiriv, which they all died simultaneously. And that's what God could have done to Egypt. What is this? In other words, till now we're talking about attacking their resources, their water. But now that you're going to the people, why are you not attacking them and getting rid of them at once? Therefore, Rashi says that there is an order. This is a part of the tactics. But the Rebbe says, "Gam kineinu moving." Talolo yoisa kavone lariges kula. We don't see by the makas that the purpose was to kill all the Egyptians. Ukademuchach mizeh shebepoye loiner gukula. The very fact that they were not killed, all of them, is the biggest proof that it was never the intention to get rid of them all. Beim kain. Couldn't have bring a dever, an epidemic, to kill them all at once. Begamloy al miktsasam, not even on a few of them, the lomo yomus ploini dafke. Because then you wonder why this guy died and not the other. And the fact is that we never find that it was directed against the people. Even by the last plague, Makas Pchoiras, so the Rebbe says, Achafilu ba Maka Achroino, the last plague, Utsrocholios Hakbole Mesuyemes, Miyomus. There was a clear specified limit who is going to die, Abchoirim. The firstborn, Veloistam Shiyomusu Ktasmi Amitzrim, that some will die and some not. So clearly, there is no reason to assume that this is what we are wondering, why you're bringing Oroiv. Maybe you should kill them all at once. And Rashi has to come with this insight of this Tachsisei Milchama, comparing it to wars. Something else must have bothered Rashi. Let's continue inside. Yesh Meforshim. There are those Meforshim, which the Rebbe says is the Sifse Chachamim, in his second answer. And he has another explanation why only Ba'orov Rashi felt necessary to bring the Medrash, comparing it to war tactics. What does he say? Shebesholesh Makas HaRishoinois, Loi Utzrach Rashi Levairis Taimon, in the first three Makas, Rashi did not find necessary to explain the reason, Kimuvun Hu Mimashekosuv Bo'en Lifneze, because this is understood clearly, the reason for the plagues is understood from what is written in the pasuk regarding the makas. What is it? Hamakos shel dam v'tzfardeya hein bichdei lehalkos al yodom es irosom. The whole purpose of the maka of dam and tzfardeya was not only to punish the Egyptians, but they should see their hero, their idol, their daddy, their god, is being plagued. Ukamefuresh beRashi, like Rashi himself says, Kabe makas dam. Rashi says, Umitzrayim oivdim lanilus, lefichoch ilko esirosom, veacharkoch ilko oisom. Rashi says that the reason why dam was the first maka is because this is their daddy. That's who they worshipped. And therefore, it was necessary to punish their god first. So we know the reason for that. Begame makas fardeim, even when it comes to makas fardeim, the second plague, Arixiv, it says, v'shoratz hayir oir tzfardeim. The oir, again, the river, should be scrubbed with frags. So again, the plague was directed against the oil, against the water, which is their god. In Rashi Mefarish, Rashi himself says that why was Moshe not hitting the river when it comes to the Tzfardim, and why was it Aaron? Says Rashi, lefi shehegina yoir al Moshe, since the river was protecting Moshe when he was placed in the basket, therefore loy loko al yodoi, the river was not hit by Moshe, loy badam, veloy batzfardi, not by the plague of blood, and not by the plague of tzfardi. So clearly, we see that the reason for dam and tzfardeya is directed for the water, and this is the first one who was meant to be attacked. So therefore, Rashi does not need to bring us any medrash, because we understand why it was done. Arei shegam tzfardeya makas hayehoiri. The tzfardeya was a plague against the river. Elo shelo yirroson mamesh ulkeso al yodo. Velochem bo l'achem makas dam. Dam was a plague directed against their god, which was the Nile River. Here, tzfardeya came to again, make a message, give a message, and to break the force of their idols and the way they relate to it and the impression it made on them. And therefore, we understand what is the purpose, and there's no need for Rashi to explain us the reason for this makas. So this is regarding dam, this is regarding tzfardeya. It's all to break up the strength, the force, the chashivus, the importance of the nilus of being the so-called the daddy of Mitzrayim. Even the third makah, gambo tama v'oso muchach min yono. Clear, the purpose of its plague is from the context of how the plague and what the plague resulted. Kibo ve'al yodo oidu achartumim ve'omru etzba'e leikimi. We see that when it came the makas of kinim, they said, this is the finger of God. In the previous makah is damage for dea. Somehow the Mitzrim, their witchcraft, the Chartumim, were able to imitate some of the work that Moshe did. The chidush, the novelty of Kinim was that they tried to remove the Kinim with their witchcraft. Ve'lo yochoilu, and they couldn't do it. And they all had to admit and say, Edzba Elokimi, this is only God who can do it. This is not something which is done through witchcraft, which is what the complaint was in the previous two Makos Damen Tzfardea. So clearly we have a reason. And if we have a reason, Rashi doesn't have to tell us the purpose of the plague. Why does Rashi bring us that medrash that the plague is related to war and that gives us the reason for the order, etc., is dafke when it comes to Orif. Shegia Rashi v'pirusha lemakes Orif, come to the Pasha of Orif, oz huk sholoi, then Rashi was bothered. Lomo makes udafke. What is the purpose of this plate? It doesn't say. Wild animals, what is it? What's the incentive? What am I trying to accomplish? That's why Rashi comes here and says, Sha'tamu betachsisim milchamois, that we're following the tactics of war. And that's why Dafka necessarily by Orev is where Rashi brings it. This is what the Sifse Chachomim says. There is also other answers which the Rebbe is going to bring in Ore 19, in Ore 20. And I'm going to say the answers now because the following questions that the Rebbe asked in the Sifre Chachamim go also on this Amdos Meforshim. There is the answer that the Rebbe brings from the Maral. The Maral in his commentary on Chumash called Gur Aryeh. So he brings, as the Rebbe says in Ore 19, Al Dam ve'al Tzfadeh aloi kashe. Lefi shamayim kroivim le Mitzrayim, since the water is by and very close to Mitzrayim, v'chein atzfardeim sheba yeor, the rivers which is in the frog which is in the river of Mitzrayim, v'chein afar oretz. So basically, he says that the reason why Rashi brings it here, because the original makas were the makas which were near them. The water is always with them. The Tfardim were in the river, which is again with them. The Kinim was in the earth. But Oroi was to bring animals from afar, unusual animals, animals which don't walk around and leave to stay together with people. So since it's something which came from the outside, so to speak, that is what Rashi here needs to explain us. The reason, the reason according to Medresh, what is the Orivio? So this is what the Maharal says, and the Rebbe is going to bring three questions at the Sifse Chachomim, as he says, but Kol Gimel Kushi Yeselu, he says in the beginning for Ore 19, and Gamal Tiru Tzagur Aryeh. He's also on the Teret of the Maharal. There is also another Teret, which is brought by the Maskil David, which he brings in Ore 20. The Maskil David says, "Shepirei shekoshel Rashi lo modafke makas oroiv oiso mako shehorgo min haMitzrim." Mashenkin makas orishoynes. The Rashi was bothered that the first maka that we find that actually killed some of the Egyptians, not just caused them damage by having their water supply and their god being beaten, etc., is by Orev. Orev is where the people himself were also attacked, and some of the people died. So therefore, says the Maskil David, it was important for Rashi to explain here why is that what's the reason for this makkah? And therefore, Rashi brings the medrash. This is what he explains, the difficulty with Orev. The life of the Egyptians were affected. That's what he writes. By Dami says, the Maskele David, they didn't die. They could have drink water by what they purchased from the Jews. Phrax was for sure not dead. There was a lot of pain and discomfort. Lice was also discomfort for the body. Hashem never wanted to kill them. He wanted just to make them stressful and feel discomfort so they should realize his strength. Makas Oroiv was animals which came, beasts and snakes, which are missing their killing. And Hashem did not want to kill them, seemingly. Therefore, Rashi says, the Yesh Tam B'Divra God, and he brings the Medrash, which explains a Medrashic reason for the reasons. But on these two, the Rebbe is going to ask the following questions, which we're going to read now. So all the questions is really questions which goes on all these explanations. Let's see the questions. Ulam pirush ze einoy muvun klal. It's clearly not understood. Aleph. Im kavanos shel Rashi be'avos ha-medrash levar be'iker estamo shel makas oroiv. If taket that what Rashi wants to explain the reason for makas oroiv, im kein echi tochin shel satam le'makas oroiv einoy mevi. You're telling me that this is what Rashi wants. He wants, because here necessarily, specifically, we need a reason. And yet, he doesn't tell us the reason. Or Iker Chaser. The main thing is missing. We don't tell us what the reason. Again, Im Kavadosa Shirashi. He doesn't bring it. He's only referencing. And not only that, he brings dam, he brings sfardeya, which have nothing to do with our parsha, with our makia of oroiv, and oroiv itself, which is the most important. You don't even explain. Question one. Beis leidoch gisa lesfor the other end lesfor asam before shimanal bepirush Rashi. According to those commentaries, shetamei yem shel gimel makas arishoynes yeduim upshutim, that the reasons for the first three plagues, like me explained before, is clearly it's understood from the verses itself. Belochein lo yizbiram Rashi bederech shaila lo b'makazu, and that's why Rashi doesn't stop by each makas and say why this way. And he answers because he wanted to be their God. You understand that this is what he wants to do, and you see it happening with the way the makkah took place. And Rashi doesn't explain anything. Im kein, madu achoizer Rashi me'oisa mataymim, umatik me'amedrash taymim acherim. Then it becomes strange. We have reasons that Rashi believes that we all know these reasons, and that's why he doesn't even have to explain it in a specific way. Now he brings the Medrash because he had an issue with Oroiv, and he brings new reasons for Dam and Tzfardeya, which seemingly are going back of the original reasons for Dam and Tzfardeya. Why would that be? Gimel, if Pirusha now, according to these explanations that we mentioned before, which the commentaries explain why by Oroiv Rashi has to bring the reason, Hemshech ha-dibur hazeh bepirush Rashi u'ach v'rak biur taimo shel makas oriv levad. Then what Rashi tells us is only explaining us the plague of oriv. V'haynu she'u inyan bifnei atzmoy ve'ein lo ishaychus v'hemshech lema she'kosuv lifnei zeh be'oysa ha-dibur kol minechay ezrois. It has nothing to do with what Rashi explained earlier. In other words, Rashi explained earlier what Orev is all about and what Mashliach means. And now he goes on and explains you seemingly something else. And this is how and what's the reason for the Orev. But if that's the case, there's a rule that Rashi explains two separate things in a pasuk.
Rashi mazel beis yon nifrodim bepirusho sheteivo achas. Rashi explains two things. Explaining one word, oy teiva sachodes miakosu, or a few words, azumatik teiva zu pa'amayim. He copies the word, the eder is also the word that is coming to explain. Lifnei kol inyan bifnei atzmoi. Before each concept, he brings the word that he's about to explain. Ukedeveil bemakas ferdeya, shematik teivas atir oidapam, because he has two ideas, two explanations in the word atir. Val pize gamin in didan, in our case, oiloi lerashi, lehatik es oroiv, to copy the word es oroiv oidapam, pirdei lechale bidin linyan. You should write the word es oroiv twice. First of all, to tell us what is the oroiv, a mixture of wild animals, plus Esa Orev again, to tell us why the Orev came. This is the Medrash explanation following the tactics of war. This is what Rashi usually does, but here they come together as one continuation under the same headline, Esa Orev. Question number 3. Be'atam le'makas dam, maybe Rashi rakas amoshel, mibri lehasbi muvonoi banimshel. Rashi says only the mashal. He only says that Makas Dam is compared to what the government does when they are fighting another nation. What do? Mekalkel Mainasel, they ruin the springs of water. How is it related to Dam? Rashi realizes you're going to figure it out yourself. I guess water. Here the water were attacked, but Rashi doesn't tell you the meaning of that parable, the comparison. He lets you figure it out. Comes to Tzfardeya, Masha'enki b'makas Tzfardeya, u'moysif u'mefarish inyonim gam banimshul. He doesn't tell you that the mashal, the parable, that what, when the enemies come, they sound and they blow shofars in order to confuse and to create fear. But it tells you also, v'cheina tzfardim. What is the relationship to the second plague? The tzfardim too, mekarkerim ve'oimim, they make noise, and they create this confusion by their noise making. But the question is, mai binayu? What is the difference between dam and tzfardeya, that badam Rashi brings the mashul and the nimshul? He also explains you what is the play comparable to the tactic of war. In Aruz, that when it comes to Tzfardeya, he does not tell you what, I'm sorry, but by Dami does not tell you, but Tzfardeya, he tells you also how it relates to the issue that we are dealing. In Order 22, the Rebbe says, this could be a simple answer, שאף שיש להם אשר במקס דם, הרי זה מוב מעצמוי, מטבעס מקלקל מעיון ישר. They don't need explanation because the fact that you read in the mashal, in the parable, that they attack and they ruin the springs of water, so we right away know that that's what happened to the water of Egypt. מה שאין כן בצפרדיה, אינו מוב מעצמוי שייכוס טויקין עליהם למקס צפרדיה. Takes a little more creativity to try to find the relationship between the shofars, the sounds and the noise that the conquering the nation does, compared to the kvitching of the frogs. So maybe it needs more specification. That can be an answer. But the Rebbe says einoi, that is not accepted as an answer. Why? Ki kvar pirash Rashi. Rashi already said earlier that what did the Tzfardeya do? It went into their stomachs and it made noise. So the one learning Chumash now knows already that a part of the Tzfardeya plague was to create that noise in that uncomfort which comes with that. So therefore, we can also understand it seemingly ourselves by finding the mashal from the shofars being sounded by war, we will, on our own, compare it to the noise that we dealt with the frogs. So So the question is still why Rashi by Dam does explain, in Batsfadeya, I'm sorry, but Dam he does not explain the Nimshul, the meaning, but Batsfadeya he does. Question number 4. Mizesh Rashi Magdim Veyeshtam Bedovar Be'agoda. Rashi introduces that you're going to find a reason in Agoda. Agoda means Medresh. Moving She'ein Aperush Lefi Pshutesh Mikro. This is not the simple Perush, as the Rebbe is in Lent explaining in Oret 23, that sometimes the Afshe Arbe Perushim Shebe Pirush Rashi Eim Mimidroshe Chazal. Many times Rashi does bring Medroshim. Rashi himself says in the beginning of Bereshis, "Ani lo ibasi elo lepshute shel mikro." Even though my job is mainly to explain the pshat, "Vehagode," I will bring medrashim ameyasheves divrei mikro, which resolves the simple meaning of the pasuk. So Rashi does bring medrashim, but mikol mokem ein Rashi magdim. Rashi doesn't usually introduce the medrash with the words "Omru Rabbi Seinu." This is what our sages sell us in the Medrash v'kayoyitz b'ze. Why not? Because be'im chrochim eim lefi pshuto shel mikro, if they are needed, if they are necessary to explain the pasuk, I don't have to tell you it's a Medrash. I will bring you the Medrash without introducing the Medrash with a special title, because the Medrash here explains the pasuk. Mash'enke keshu magdim shu mi Medrash, when Rashi introduces, let me now share with you a Medrash, to teach you that it's not the simple meaning of the pasuk. He still brings it, ki ala perusha pashut koshek tzas. He needs to bring it because the simple pshat is still having difficulty, and the medrash will help you understand it. So this is the general rule. When Rashi brings a medrash, if it's necessary, he would not tell you that it's a medrash. He's not going to introduce it with a special title. If it's extra, he would say that this is coming from a medrash. Here, Rashi says clearly, back to question 4, Ve'yeshtam bedover be'agode. So Rashi clearly says that this explanation is found in Agode. Muvun she'ein ha'perush lefi pshute shel mikro. It's not simply understood. Ve'lichu'u reflek de Rebbe is a tamze. That reason that the plagues were given in an order because God is plaguing the Egyptians with tactics of war. This is understood also in the simple understanding of the pasuk. Makes sense. Hashem is so-called fighting the Egyptians. And if you're fighting the Egyptians, we are using tactics of war. And the Medrash will fit with the explanation of the pasuk. And as the Rebbe brings in Ora 24, V'chem Afuresh Le'alon. Later in the Torah, we find clearly, Hashem Ilochem Lochem. Hashem will fight for you. Hashem Ish Milchama. So we know that Hashem works in the tactics or in the context of war. Aval gam beloiksu vimeilu, even mit adis plukim moving kein gam bepashtu, simply understood that the Rebishter is now fighting the Egyptians, so to speak, and is using the tactics of war, and that's what the makas are arranged in that manner. Why does Rashi have to tell you beyesh tam bedovar be'agode, as if this is something which is somehow not really acceptable in the pshuto shel mikro? Hey, the fifth question is, Lama Mesayim Rashi kede Isa bemedresh Rabbi Tanchuma. Why did Rashi conclude with the words, like it says in the Medrash of Tanchuma, Ari ein darko shel Rashi letzaina mokr ledvorov? Rashi usually does not reference the source, which medresh he took it. Imloi bemokrim shetanigeya lepirush akosel. But less, it's important because you need it for the understanding of the pasuk, and the question is, Umay nafkemine kan? Here, what difference would it make in the understanding of the pasuk to know that it comes from a medrash Rabbi Tanchuma? Vegam, the following question is lo mochilko lishnayim. Why does Rashi divide it into two parts? Kosav betchilas perusho, in the beginning when he brings that medrash, he says yesh tam bedover be'agode, which agode is like more like a general term to medrash. Ubesoifay at the end he writes kedeisa be medrash Rabbi Tanchuma. Havele lechoydelom yachad, Rashi should have included them both together, veloimar, and say, v'yesh tam bedavar, b'medresh rab tanchuma. There's a reason in the medresh rab tanchuma, in this covers all bases. In the beginning he writes, agoda. In the end he brings the source of tanchuma. Why bechlal you bring a source, and you break up the medrashim into two references. And finally, question number 6, Vav. Lomo mati grashi minakosuv ganteva is eso oroiv? Inani mashliach becho, state in posik, eso oroiv, the oroiv. So why does Rashi also use in his editor the word es, aloi kol perushoi einoi elo betevas o oroiv? He's only coming to explain what the oroiv is. So why is he copying the word S if seemingly he does not explain it? So this is all questions that we have in this Rashi regarding Makas Oroiv, where the Rebbe is going to comment on explanation, what is unique about Oroiv, which will respond to all those questions, but also give us an understanding in the reading of Rashi, to see how Rashi understood what was so special about Oroiv and why is it written in the way it was written.